I want to talk about talking with God. Have you ever had a conversation with God?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm talking about where I hear him with my natural ear. You ever had that kind of conversation?
Yep.
There are people in Scripture that did. They talked and communicated. You know, if when we're praying, we're talking to God. We're making our request be known. We're telling him thank you. We ought to be telling him thank you. We've had some good preaching today. We've had some God-honoring preaching. We had some good exhortation, some good encouragement. We've had instruction in righteousness, how we should worship him and serve him. We've had good today. We need to be telling him, thank you, God, for this. We've had beautiful singing. We've had rejoicing together. And I think that even in the song service, we're lifted up and we can rejoice God. And that's part of praising God. That's our purpose in the... Somebody was saying it. Our purpose in church and going to church or going to a meeting is to honor God, to praise him, to worship him. Of course, in the process, I get a whole lot out of it. And I feel like we get fed, we get encouraged. And I need somebody at lunchtime to talk about this, preachers. And sometimes there's not enough preacher slots for all the preachers to preach. I don't know. But the thing is, preachers need to hear good preaching too. As far as hearing God's voice, there's one preacher, I can't remember who it was, maybe in Harold Hunt. He said, somebody asked him if he ever heard God's voice, but with natural, he said, no, and if I ever did, I'd probably jump plumb out of my skin. And I concur. I think if I ever heard God's voice speaking to me with a natural audible sound, I think it would scare me to death and terrify me to death. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, he had a conversation. One of the first things, that I want to go to, this is after he's created, this is the second chapter of Genesis. And it's the 16th verse. First conversation I know of that God had with any man was with Adam. Genesis 2:16 says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. First thing he did was he started giving commandments. And rightly so. He's in charge. He is our creator. I mean, he's the one who brought all this about. He has the right to tell us what to do and what not to do. He has the right to give us our rules and regulations and our laws. He is the one who made the law, created the law, and gave us the law. God commanded the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. There was an absolute said one time. See, it didn't say if you eat it, says in the day you eat. It trying to imply that God had caused him or predestinated him to eat of that fruit. God didn't do anything like that. God told him not to do it. You know, it's like, I wouldn't tell one of my kids when they were growing up, you go out that door, the day you walk out that door without my permission, I'm going to wear you out. Proceed to push them out the door, and then wear them out for going out the door. That doesn't make good nonsense, as Sonny Powell used to say. No, I tell them what to do, and I expect them to do it, but I also tell them, if you do what I told you not to do, or if you don't do what I told you to do, there's going to be consequences, and this is consequence. That's exactly what God was telling them. He simply telling them, don't eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If the day that you eat of it, I'm going to bring this consequence on. You're going to die. You're going to die, and your wife is going to die. All of your posterity is going to die. There was a, I've heard it from the pulpit, Old Baptist pulpit sometimes, and I'm shocked hearing it. And Elder Joe Holder got a good, I can't quote what he said, but I gave you some of what he said about it. Somebody said this was Adam and Eve was a beautiful love story. That Adam loved Eve so much that when she ate the forbidden fruit, he knew she was going to die, so he ate the forbidden fruit too, so he'd die and just be with her. Hogwash. She didn't die when she ate the fruit. She died when he ate the fruit.
That's right. Yeah.
He brought death upon himself and his entire posterity. That is the first Adam. The last Adam, second Adam, last Adam, whatever you want to call it, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he brought life to his bride. Adam, the first Adam, in his life, he brought death. But Jesus, in his death, he brought life. When he died on the cross, he took away our sin, took away that curse of death that the first Adam had brought upon him. He himself and all that was born of the seed of Adam. And Jesus Christ being not the seed of Adam. Have you ever given that any thought? On the one human being that ever lived on this earth that was not the seed of Adam. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the seed of a woman. I've jumped way ahead of myself here. I'm sorry. I guess I'll start with the sixth verse. 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree, this is, he's already on. And so the person said that, said, Eve went off and got tempted and left the forbidden fruit and brought it back to Adam and he ate it. That ain't what the Bible says.
No.
That's right what it says here. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. She didn't go off somewhere and get it and come bring it back to him. He was with her. They were together at this point. He should have said, get away from her, serpent, Satan. And let her alone. He didn't. And the eyes of them both were open. And they both died when Adam ate. The eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and that they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. What happens to leaves when they dry up? When they just shrivel up, don't they? I think that's a really good illustration that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags as far as trying to cover our sin. It what we do, everything we do is vanity and vanity of vanities, if we're trying to do that in order to get eternal life or in order to deserve eternal heaven and immortal glory. All that is vanity. But what Jesus Christ did, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You that song, and here's one little caveat on that song. I don't sing what can wash away my sins. I say what has washed away my sins. It's a done deal, Brother Lloyd. It happened 2,000 years ago. He took away my sins when he died on the cross and he shed his blood and died. It took away my sin. And verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Here's the second time God's talking to him. Have you noticed that every time God's talking to him, he's giving him instructions or something's fixing to happen? Adam's in trouble. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. President Harry S. Truman, I think, was, he had a sign on his desk that said, the buck stops here.
Yeah.
I think what was going on here is Adam's passing the buck. That woman, you gave me that woman. It's indirect, it's your fault, because you gave me that woman, she gave me the fruit. And verse 12, verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Pass the book. Well, there's a little joke about that. Man tried to blame it on the woman. The woman tried to blame it on the serpent. The serpent was trying to find somebody to blame it on. Didn't have a leg to stand on. Question on that. I'll get that in just a second. Verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon my belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, there's some conjecture that the serpent had legs before this. I don't know he did. I don't know he didn't. I suspect not. But if he did, it was poop, poop, they're gone. Or poop, 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 they're gone. I don't know if they're supposed to have two or four. But they're gone. And he's crawling on his belly from that point on. Serpents are still crawling on their belly. Oh, and this is this. Here's the first prophecy of our redemption. Mm-hmm. This next verse. Yeah. He's speaking to the serpent, but he's making a prophecy of our redemption, what Jesus Christ is going to do. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between her, thy seed, and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. Who is her seed? Yeah. Jesus Christ, the only human being on this earth that's ever been born of the seed of woman. Only one that's ever been born that's not of the seed of man. You know, the sin nature is passed on by the Father. We all inherited our Father's sin nature. I inherited mine, he inherited his, he inherited his, etc., etc. All the sisters, you all inherited your sin nature from your Father. Jesus Christ inherited his nature from his Father. It's a divine nature. Amen. He is God incarnate, 100% God and 100% man. This is the God that I know and love, and that loved me first. God loved me first. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and thy seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his head. Jesus, heel was bruised, but it wasn't. The bruising of the head is indicative of a mortal wound. Mortal wound. Unto the woman, he said, I will. Notice that he started off, when he started talking to these people, he started with Adam. Talked to Adam first. And Eve, the serpent. Then he reversed the order when he started talking to men. He talked to the serpent, then he talked to Eve, and then he talked to Adam. The woman said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and dust shalt thou return. That is a tremendous curse that is pronounced upon all three of them. And I think that Elder Gary is one that talked about the one with the baby bump. You know, I think he's the one. One of them said something about it. And the most beautiful woman there is when she's carrying a baby. When my children were in their mother's womb, most beautiful she ever was when she was carrying those children. But there was sorrow in that. It was a curse for the sorrow. The curse was not in bearing children. The curse was in the pain and the sorrow that it came with it. And my mother said one time, a woman's never any closer to death than when she's giving birth to a child. And I think she was right about that. Now, I want to skip on to the fourth verse. God's going to start talking to somebody else here. Eve has already born two children. And let's start with 4:3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. I want you to notice, first he said he had respect unto the person, and then to the offering, or not respect to the person and then to the offering. I've heard it preached from Old Baptist pulpit that it was because Cain brought of the fruit of the field, of the fruit of the ground, that his offering was rejected. I want you to understand, that wasn't why it was rejected. Right. It wasn't what was offered, it was who was offering it. You've heard God is no respecter of persons. I want you to understand, it said plainly, he had respect to Abel. He had my respect to Cain. Why? Because Abel was the child of God. He brought by faith, he brought the, let me read again what it says. Of the firstlings of the flock, and of the fat thereof. That's under the law of Moses, that was what was commanded. He was able to bring the fatness of it, the best, the firstlings of the flock, the very best. And when it said, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, didn't say the first fruits. He didn't say he brought the best. Under the law of Moses, God commanded, he demanded the fruit of the ground. He demanded the first fruit of the fruit of the, first fruit of the, fruit of the ground. In the 14th chapter of the Roman letter, it tells us whatsoever is not of faith, it's sin. And in 1 John, now don't leave there. I'm going to run over 1 John right quick. I got a lot of places marked. Well, I've got it marked if I can just get there. I thought I had that in. All right, yeah, it fell out. Okay. 1 John. Chapter 3. Well, 1 John chapter 3. I'll just go with the 12th verse for such a time. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother, said he was of the wicked one. He's not a child of God. There are very few people, that I can say, I know that is not, I know this is not. It says plainly right here. He was of that wicked one and slew his brother. It says, wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. His works were evil because he brought not by faith. He brought that offering not of faith. It's not what he offered, it's who offered it. And it says, his brother's right words were righteous. His brother's works were righteous because he offered it by faith. He brought of the fruit of the ground. It wasn't what was offered, it was who offered it. Now let's go over for a moment. Genesis. Let's look at Noah. Let's look at Noah chapter 8. The earth was corrupt, and the earth was corrupt. And I'm not the right chapter. I'm the wrong chapter. Back to back to 6th chapter. Sixth chapter, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now I'm saying, is it over there? Is it over there? I'm hunting for grace. Hunting for grace in the eyes of the Lord. No, he wasn't searching for grace. And it's kind of like God found Jacob in a west howling wilderness. Well, because he didn't know where he was. It wasn't he was out searching for him. He knew where he was all along. But he found him in a waste howling wilderness. Where Jacob was down there. He wasn't seeking after God. Jacob wasn't seeking after God. But in a sense, you ever heard him turn that around? And Jacob found God, though he wasn't looking for him. And likewise, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And see, that grace was there all along. That before the foundation of the world, there was grace in the eyes of God. And Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And God told him in the 13th verse, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, where the lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. He told him the size of that ark, and I took a 21-inch cubit, and a cubit is from here to here, and mine's going to be a lot shorter than Brother Bryce's. The bigger person's going to have it. Well, I don't know how tall or how big Noah was. I figured that a 18 to 21 inches, I think, is about right. I think I figured that a 21-inch cubit, and it came out to, if that thing was 525 feet long, you could put this house in it. What, three or four times? I don't know how many. I don't know how long this house is. It's like 1 2/3 football fields long. That's how long that ship was. And it's 80. It came out to 87.5 feet wide. That's how wide it was. It was wider, I think, than this house is long. And it was 52.5 feet tall. Now, if you're an 18-inch cube, it's only 45 feet tall and 450 feet long and 75 feet wide. But this was a huge ship. Now, I've had people say, he could have got all those animals on that ark. And first thing you want to ask them is, well, how big was the ark? Usually, they'll say, well, I don't know, but he could have got it all on there. And the next question is, well, how many animals did he have to get on there? I don't know, but he could have got it all on there. You got lions, and you got tigers, you got cheetahs, and he didn't need lions and tigers and cheetahs. He needed 7 breeding pairs of every clean kind of animal and 2 breeding pairs of the unclean. Did y'all know that? And if you ever ask somebody how many of these kind of animals they take on the ark, usually I'll say how many of each kind of animals did Moses take on the ark. And they'll start trying to tell me how many animals Moses took on the ark. And of course, that's that. Moses didn't take any animals on the ark. Right. Noah took them on the ark. And all those animals came to him. He didn't go out and hunt. There were, back when I was growing up, there was a song about the unicorn. It was a silly song. And I've seen this and that and the other, but no, I just didn't see no unicorn. That's y'all, some of y'all may remember that. It was just a silly song. It was funny. Noah wasn't out hunting for him. And if you read it, it tells here. I'm just going to read on here. And he said, this is 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come in the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives, and of every living thing of all flesh, too, of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall come be male and female, of all fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing after of the earth after his kind, to of every sort, listen to this, shall come unto thee to keep them alive. He didn't say go out and hunt. He said plainly that they're going to come to him. How are they going to come to him? Well, just like when God commanded the raven to go out and feed Elisha when he's hiding him out by the brook Cherith. Somebody made a joke and said, well, that raven probably went up to old King Ahab's table and stole the food off his table and brought to Elijah. I don't know about that. But a raven is a scavenger. He goes out and picks up scavenger. He ain't going to feed somebody else. If God commanded him to do that, God can command these animals to go on the ark. He told them to go there and they went. They went. And thou shalt take unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather unto thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house in the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. He's the only one. He said Noah was perfectly upright in his generation. He found righteous in his generation. He looked at him by grace through Christ, but he also looked at him by his conduct, that he was trying to do what he's supposed to do, and he was short evidence of being a child of God, I believe. Now this is this. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens. Didn't say by two, by sevens, the male and his female, 7 males, 7 females, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. So seven breeding pairs of the clean beasts and two breeding pairs of the unclean beasts. And he only needed two of the cat kind, two of the horse kind. He needed seven of the cattle kind. He needed seven of the sheep kind, seven breeding pairs. So that's 14 of each kind of clean animal and four of each kind of unclean animal. How did he get all those animals on that ark? Well, there's a display up in Kentucky called the ark. What do you call it? I forget the rest of it now. It just left me. Ken Ham. I'm sorry?
Encounter.
Ark encounter, yeah. Ark encounter. Well, that's showing one way that could have been done. It's not saying this is how it was done. They're saying this is how it could have been done. People say, oh, it couldn't have been done. Well, it was done. God said it's done. And I don't need that ark encounter to show me that it could be done. I'm just saying I like that. It was good. It's good. I have not been there. Would love to go. God commanded, and that's exactly what God, Noah did. He brought all those animals on the ark, and he listened to God. God commanded him. Have any of you ever heard God speak? Not in that kind of way. When we pray for the spirits, the guidance of the spirit, and best we can do is I feel led to do this. You know, that's the best I know to do. Let's go on now back to the 8th chapter, and just for a moment. And God said unto Noah, this 8:15, this when God was praying off, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and so forth. God told him, go on the ark. God told him, come off the ark. And by the way, I want to make one more point about those animals. The people say, you cut got dinosaurs on the ark. Dinosaurs, they get as big as a house. Well, there are dinosaurs that would get as big as a house. The reptiles, as I understand it, reptiles never stop growing. They slow down like they get so big, but they never stop growing. Well, God wanted these animals to multiply and replenish the earth after they came off the ark. He did not send them, the old ones. He sent them the young ones, the juveniles that weren't ready to breed yet. They were smaller. The biggest dinosaurs were big as what? Something like that, I guess. The best they could do in archaeology, trying to find. The animals, they didn't start out as big as a house. They started out much smaller. And so they came off the ark. They brought them off the ark. They bred and multiplied and replaced the earth, just as God said. And I want to skip over now. I don't know what time did I start and what time I need to hush. I probably already talked too long. I'll just go quickly because I probably need to hush. I wish I'd thought to look at my clock, my watch, the clock, whatever. I'll talk about Abraham. Abraham, before and after he changed his name, God had conversations with him. He had conversations with Moses. He, out of the burning bush, he called Moses out of the burning bush. He had conversations with Moses. I don't know anybody in modern day that has had a conversation with God. Isn't God amazing? Wouldn't it not be awesome to have an honest conversation with God? Mm-hmm. With God? Yeah. Wouldn't it also be terrifying?
Mm-hmm.
God is a terrible God. Yeah, one of them covered this morning. He's a terrible God. I don't know if I've run out of time. I'm going to hush. May God bless you in prayer.